I owe you an apology, Greg.
Again?
Yeah.
What'd you do now?
I have to agree with you about your Rookie of the Year pick.
Uh-huh.
I think Blake Griffin's better than John Wall this year. This year. I was looking at the turnovers. Turnovers are like off the charts for John Wall. We're going to talk more about that later. Today on the show, we're going to look at some of the rookies, how they're doing, the good ones, the bad ones. We're going to just go over the major storylines in the NBA. Tell you, if the playoffs started today, what would the standings look like? You might be a little bit surprised. And, you know, much, much more. We're just going to go over the big issues, as we always do here on the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. Adam Azer, Greg Urbano. If you want to send us an email, please do so at CBSIPodcastFeedback@CBS.com. Right now, it is Tuesday, November 9th. We are recording this Tuesday afternoon. Last night, we had some interesting games, including Orlando beating Atlanta, which always happens, but it was close this time, 93-89.
Yep.
What do you want to start out with? I'll give you some options.
Hmm.
Talk about the Rockets.
Okay.
You can talk about the Heat and the Hornets because they played on Friday night. Very interesting game. Or the Thunder.
You know what? I came up to you yesterday and said, you know what? What's going on in Oklahoma City? What's the, you know, what's the problem? I don't know that we can really pinpoint it yet. Still early in the season, but let's talk a little Thunder.
All right, they're 3-3, and you know Durant's scoring a lot of points, second in the NBA right now in scoring. The defense, though, this team last year was built on defense. Right now, 104 points per game they're allowing. Now Nick Collison's been out. Apparently he's a lot more important than I realized. I guess he gives them, you know, a physical presence that they need and they're lacking right now. Jeff Green day to day with an ankle sprain. He missed the most recent loss to Boston. And James Harden has been awful. He is shooting 30%, averaging less than 5 points per game. But right now it's the defense. Last year, Durant, Westbrook, Green. It wasn't just that. It was that they played great team defense. They're not doing it right now.
No, they're athletic, but they don't have what you would consider to be a shot-blocking big. So,
well, they have Ibaka.
Ibaka, but he's not one of these guys that you consider like a Camby or a game-changer in the paint that's going to block shots all day, right? So what they do is they work on their athleticism and their movement, their footwork. And perhaps that just hasn't been there yet because defense is really all about effort. You know, I think we all know that. Just like rebounding, it's all about the effort you put into it. Of course, it helps to have talent.
It's about shot blockers,
it
too.
Helps
I
to
mean,
have talent.
Serge Ibaka can block shots.
But they don't. I mean, they have Serge, but not much else as shot blocking. And in general, like you said, when they're not mentally ready to play defense and willing to put forth the effort, you'll see them struggle. And then you combine that with the shooting percentage of Kevin Durant and, as you mentioned, James Harden early on in the season. These guys aren't shooting the ball the way they did last year.
No,
you expect that to fix itself as the season progresses. But the defense is an effort thing. That right now, you got to wonder, were they just confident in their play last year and they came into this season expecting to win? And maybe that work ethic that they had that pushed them last year isn't quite there yet. But you got to figure once they, you know, get 10, 15 games into the season, they'll start rolling and we'll find out really who they are.
Are the Houston Rockets going to start rolling? They score a lot. They score and they score and they score, but they're 1-5 because they allow 112 points per game. Only Minnesota gives up more points per game. And to make things even worse, Aaron Brooks is out 4 to 6 weeks with an ankle sprain. Ishmael Smith starting in his place, at least until Kyle Lowry returns. But this is a bad situation.
They're going to struggle now with Aaron Brooks out. And you see now the transition from this being a Jeff Van Gundy team to a Rick Adelman team is now complete. They were a very defensive-minded team when Van Gundy was there, built on the effort and energy of Shane Battier bleeding down to everyone else. And they had elements of that the last couple of years with Rick Adelman. Now it's more along the lines of a Kevin Martin, sort of a Louis Scola-driven offense. And what you see from them now is still no identity has been established because you're limiting Yao's minutes, so you already realize that you're going to have to play sort of two different rosters throughout a game, and they just have not established really who they are, and it's disappointing because I think coming into this season, I had high hopes for them. You figured Aaron Brooks would be a cornerstone to their success, and then you would have Yao healthy with limited minutes. At least you're still going to get him there on certain nights, but as you mentioned, they're sitting him on nights where you think maybe he should have played,
yeah,
and then you see problems just really across their roster right,
right
now.
Right, so they're not going to play him in back-to-back games. If they have back-to-backs on the schedule, he's going to start one, he's going to sit the other. So they had the Spurs and then the Timberwolves back-to-back. They held him out of the Spurs game and played him in the Timberwolves game because they thought the matchup against the Spurs, because of all the pick-and-rolls he'd have to defend, would be bad. I'm sorry, But you better be able to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves without Yao Ming. And you better be able to have him at least contribute in your in that game against the Spurs, which they lost in overtime. And one of the reasons they lost that game, and I watched the end of it, Manu Ginobili was great, and I start to wonder, the Rockets, they've had a tough schedule so far. Who is their closer down the stretch? Who is their scorer? Kevin Martin's a scorer. Is he a closer? Is he a guy
you
wouldn't
consider him to be a clutch last-second guy.
I mean, maybe he will be. Maybe he is, and we just don't know it yet. Yeah. He hasn't been in those situations so far in his career. He's been That's on true. A lousy team. But they don't have a Ginobili. Ginobili, by the way, is playing great.
Yeah.
They don't have that guy right now, so that's a concern for them. But you can't do that with Yao Ming. Play him against the Timberwolves and not the Spurs?
Yeah, if you're going to go in that sort of a mind frame, go for two wins instead of one easy win, and you know then a kind of a game where you just hand it to that team. Although, of course, they didn't really hand it to them because they're still a really good team without Yao, and they've had that experience of playing without Yao often, so they know how to win without him. But again, it's a divisional game that they really could have used a W.
Next three games at Washington, at Indiana, at New York. So I know it's on the road, but these are winnable games. You'd like to see them at least get two. Heat and the Hornets played a great game on Friday night. The Heat started out slow. After the game, they were extremely angry at their lack of energy. But the Hornets are 6-0. They won that game, and Chris Paul dominated Miami. And you just have to wonder if Miami's going to struggle with quick guards like Chris Paul and like Rajon Rondo and even like Nate Robinson in the opener. And then Emeka Okafor, because remember, we've been saying the Heat are weak at point guard and at center.
Yep.
So the point guard and the center
dominated
for New Orleans game. Completely dominated. How many teams have a point guard and a center that can dominate the Miami Heat?
Not many. And that's probably a good thing for the Heat. And you look at the Eastern Conference, you look at a team like Orlando, Jameer Nelson, good point guard.
Nelson's not even close to Paul. Yeah. He's not that quick guy.
Definitely not.
Paul was splitting double teams. I mean, he was going – they were using the pick and roll, and they were just dominating Miami on the perimeter.
There's about four guys at a Chris Paul level, I think, right now. You know, I throw Derrick Rose in there. I know he's not a point guard style as they are with the passing. But he's that good, and he can take over games, both passing and scoring, from the point guard position.
Hey, look,
you get Boozer
Rose
back there,
and Rose
healthy.
And Noah.
Joakim Noah's played absolutely out of his mind so far, averaging 15 rebounds a game. 15 rebounds. So certainly if you look at the Eastern Conference, there's about two or three teams they'd have to worry about that with. And then out west, you look at even Oklahoma City, they certainly have Russell Westbrook, who's going to give them problems, and then Deron Williams out there in Utah.
So just to go back to the Hornets, they're 6-0. And their defense has been among the best in the NBA. Paul's a good defensive player. He didn't play a lot last year. And Okafor is blocking shots. He's doing a great job rebounding. And then they brought in Trevor Ariza, and he's helped their defense as well. Ken Berger wrote about the Hornets in his latest story. You can check that out on CBSSports.com. Chris Paul is averaging 6 rebounds a game. He's the best point guard in the NBA, I'm sorry.
It's not a, 1-2-3. It's a 1A, 1B.
No, it's not. It is not. Chris Paul is the best point guard in the NBA.
Right now he's playing like the best point guard in the NBA.
Well, you could say Rondo's playing like the best point guard in the NBA.
Yeah.
So the only thing is last night I was watching the Celtics-Mavericks game. Late in the game, less than a minute left, the Mavericks left Rajon Rondo completely wide open, just begging him to shoot a three-pointer, and he shot it, and he missed it. And that, to me, is why that and his free-throw shooting is why he'll never be as good as Chris Paul and Deron Williams. But he is dropping like 15 assists a game.
And I mean, that just shows you then how good Chris Paul and Deron Williams
are, because
they are complete players. They do everything well.
Absolutely. Those three guys are great, and I get it. And I will throw
Derrick Rose in there, too.
Right
in
and I'm not going to count out Steve Nash yet either, because he brings different things to the table. But I don't want to have this argument every show we do.
Yes.
I just want to say that Chris Paul is my guy, and I always say he's the best. And even though Deron Williams, no, Chris Paul's the best.
All right, we'll
even
see.
LeBron it's tweeted it. Even LeBron tweeted it.
Well, when he beats you like that, you're going to admit defeat.
Okay, San Antonio's 5-1. They beat the Bobcats 95-91 Monday night on the road. Tough place to win last year, not so much this year. Again, Manu Ginobili's been great, and two rookies are contributing for them. One's James Anderson, 20th overall pick. The other is Gary Neal. He's a 26-year-old rookie who played in Europe for 3 seasons. He hit 5 three-pointers against Charlotte. And you know that the two leading scorers on the Spurs are Ginobili 1, Richard Jefferson 2.
Yeah, and we've seen Tim Duncan's game progress in recent years. Less scoring, less minutes, better percentages, less turnovers. So we know that he's not going to be the dominant statistical force, but he is still such a dominant force in the game itself, that he allows those other guys to really, you know, do what they do best. And you see, like you said, Manu Ginobili being Ginobili again. When he's healthy, he's as good as it gets in crunch time, and he's a guy that really is an energy guy, whether he comes off the bench or starts. And then Jefferson, you know, like we talked about, I mean, is maybe turning back the clock a little bit, but at the same time, I don't buy into the whole Jefferson playing this well. I know that, especially in recent years.
Well, he's shooting like 60-something percent.
Exactly. You're going to see him level back out to what he is. So for right now, they got to enjoy what they have in Richard Jefferson, but they know Ginobili's the focus of that team.
How about Golden State? They're 5-2, undefeated at home, picked up their first win on the road Monday night in Toronto. Toronto's really bad, by the way. And David Lee, you know, he's putting up double-doubles, but he hasn't really hit his stride. He's shooting in the low 40s. Monte Ellis, though. Ellis is having a great year, leads the NBA in scoring. He hurt his back on Monday night. Doesn't appear serious. The backcourt is great. The starting lineup is very interesting. It's small, and then it's two bigs that rebound so well. It's Curry and Ellis, and then your shooting guard, your small forward is Darrell Wright, who's been a major surprise this year. Then you've got Biedrins and David Lee doing their thing.
Who are just, you know, rebounding cleanup guys. Yep.
I got a problem with their bench, though. Their bench stinks. Let me tell you who played last night for
them. That's why they're the Warriors. I mean, unfortunately, they don't have the depth, but they do have some great top-level talent.
Brandon Wright, Jeremy Lin, Rodney Carney, Vladimir Radmanovic, and Reggie Williams.
Wow.
Those are the five off the bench last night. So, to me, I think that they can keep this up for a little while, but any injury, I mean, we'll see how long Monte Ellis is out. Any injury and then the minutes that these starters might have to log.
Yep. Well, Curry missed a couple games, and Monte Ellis was able to pick it up a notch and keep them alive and keep them, you know, like you said, winning ball games. And at 5-2 right now, that's one of the biggest surprises out there when you look at the standings.
How about the Lakers? They're 7-0. They are the best team in the NBA right now, and they are scoring like the best team in the NBA. They are the highest scoring team, and they have two of the top 11 scorers in basketball, Gasol and Kobe.
Not only that, those two guys also have triple doubles this season. It shows you how good they are. They do a little bit of everything, and they do it all well. And there's no weakness on that team right now. You're going to look at, you know, injuries or something like that that might trip them up during the regular season. But this team is rolling, and they're just ready for the playoffs, and they're ready to win this championship again.
Should have Bynum back in a few years. Or a few years. A few weeks. Well, you know, with
know.
Him, it could
you
be in a few years. So do you remember what I kept harping on last year as their weakness?
The Lakers three-point shooting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're shooting 45% from three. Odom's 9 of 13, Shannon Brown's 11 of 21, Derek Fisher's 8 of 12, Steve Blake's 13 of 26.
Wow.
Yeah.
Steve Blake playing good ball.
Yeah. I mean, the Lakers, again, this is like last year, favorable schedule to start. They were ridiculous last year in their first 20-21 games. Mm-hmm. They'll cool off a little bit, but it's pretty impressive what's going on. Orlando beats Atlanta 93-89. The Hawks out-rebounded the Magic 46-43. Dwight Howard had 27 and 11. He made 7 of 11 free throws. Marvin Williams did not play. Jameer Nelson did not play. But I think this is somewhat encouraging for them, for Atlanta, to say, hey, we can hang with these guys. Because last year, they just got blown out.
Yeah, pretty much every time. I mean, we talked about Atlanta last year. Their weakness was facing teams with great big men. And Orlando continually just handed it to them during the regular season. You know, again, Jameer Nelson was out. I don't know that that's a huge factor in the final score. But
Jason,
like you
Williams
said,
played pretty well down the stretch.
Yeah. And especially at Orlando, it's a four-point loss is not something Atlanta is going to hold their heads down about, and it's certainly going to give them a little momentum to when they, you know, host them in Atlanta to say, okay, we're going to jump over this hump and finally take them down.
Now, I want to point out, Atlanta's lost its last two games after they started the year undefeated. Jamal Crawford went 3-for-11 and 4-for-11 in those two games.
And they lost both games by 4 points. They lost to Phoenix at home by four, and then, you know, on the road at Orlando by four. So not bad losses, and this is a team in the East that is just kind of that stalwart. Every year we know they're going to be up there in the top four or five and play good basketball.
So if we look at the standings right now, if the season ended today, which would be, I guess,
terrible.
Good news for Pacers fans, Knicks fans, and Grizzlies fans, and Golden State fans. But this is what the playoff seeds would look like. In the East, Orlando would be number one, Boston would be number two, Atlanta three, Cleveland four. They have one of the easiest early season schedules so far. In their next four games, they have New Jersey twice, Indiana, and Philadelphia.
Wow.
So Orlando, Boston, Atlanta, Cleveland, Miami 5, New York 6, Chicago 7, Indiana 8. It needs to be noted, though, Miami actually has a better record than the 4-seed Cleveland, but you cannot have three teams in one division in the top four in the playoffs. The top four seeds go to the three division winners and then the next best team. So that's why you see Cleveland in there and not Miami. So it'd be Orlando, Boston, Atlanta, Cleveland, Miami, New York, Chicago, Indiana. So let's play the matchups. Who do you like? Orlando, Indiana.
Wow. Well, the one thing I like about Indiana, and that I would love to talk about now, is Roy Hibbert, who's played extremely well. He's not only rebounding and blocking shots like we knew he could, he's also passing the ball incredibly well at about 4 assists per game, which we don't expect to carry throughout the rest of the season, but shows that he's matured as a player and he's, you know, really taken a look at his weaknesses and made them strengths now.
Who do you like, Boston, Chicago in the 2-7?
Well, I mean, obviously Chicago is kind of my sleeper pick in the Eastern Conference this year. I don't know if it's much of a sleeper when you have Derrick Rose and Boozer and those guys on your roster, but they can make a lot of noise and do things that I don't know many other teams can do, and they're fun to watch. I mean, that's the biggest thing about watching them play.
But you take Boston.
I take Boston if they're, yeah, if they've got game 7 at home, they're going to win it.
Who do you like, Atlanta and New York?
Wow.
This would actually be a pretty interesting series.
It'd be interesting. Stoudemire would have some decent numbers. He'd turn the ball over about 300 times. but Atlanta would carry that one.
And Cleveland, Miami?
4-5. That would be one of the most
Cleveland would have home court.
Amazing, amazing matchups to watch. And I would love just to see the reaction of everyone in the crowd there in Cleveland.
Yeah, we'll take Miami in that one, though.
Yeah.
Out west, it would be Lakers 1, Hornets 2, San Antonio 3, Portland 4, Golden State 5, Dallas 6, Denver 7, Memphis 8.
Yeah.
Memphis, Zach Randolph, 20-23
came
last
back,
night, was
23
it?
23 points, 20 boards, not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Utah's a team that's on the outside looking in, and I'll tell you, Utah needs somebody to step up and start shooting the ball better.
Yeah.
Rajah Bell started at shooting guard, shooting 35.6% from the field, 30% from three. They can bring Ronnie Price off the bench. He's a career 40% shooter. So somebody, they got to figure out a way to make more shots.
Yeah. They look great some nights, and then the nights where they're cold, terrible.
All right, so who do you like, Lakers, Memphis?
I like Lakers, anyone.
Okay. Hornets, Denver.
Well, you know, with that, once we get to the end of the year, let's see where Carmelo is. And if he's not there, I don't even think they're in the playoff position. But the Hornets right now with that defense, you gotta love what they're doing.
San Antonio against Dallas.
You know, how many times are we going to see
every
that?
Year.
I think we're going to probably see that no matter what. So whoever has home court is who I'm going with in that matchup.
I think I'd go with Dallas in that matchup. Portland, Golden State. Well, yeah, I'm not buying Golden State.
Yeah, we know that Portland has to have all five of those starters mostly healthy for the regular season to even be sniffing the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. But Portland's playing great basketball.
Yeah, I definitely like them a lot. So, so far, I'm a little hesitant to buy into Golden State. Definitely not buying into Cleveland. New York, the more I watch them, I do think that they're going to be competitive in the race for the 8th seed, maybe the 7th seed. Because I was counting in Charlotte, and I'm just not sure anymore. I thought Charlotte would definitely be a playoff team. If they're out, that leaves another spot for a team like Indiana, New York, New Jersey, and you know the rest of the Philadelphias, Washington. Philadelphia's off to a slow start, I know, but plenty of time to recover. Plenty of time.
Yep.
I think New York might actually make the playoffs this year, finally.
Right.
Memphis is playing really well. Rudy Gay's been good. Conley's been, like, ridiculous.
Playing lights out right now, and hopefully he can keep that up. And Marcus Saul was nicked up a little early on in the season. Same with Zach Randolph, as you mentioned. So you get those two guys in the middle, rebounding, scoring. You know O.J. Mayo and Rudy Gay are athletic. They can run, and Mike Conley enjoys getting them the ball in proper places. So another team that's just fun to watch and can run the floor very well.
So here's, I guess, what I've concluded in the last 30 seconds.
Let's hear it.
I have no idea what to make of these teams yet.
Not yet. I mean, you know, we know the best of the best. We know those teams that we expected to be there, they look like they're ready and they're playing good basketball. And then there's some teams that are just complete surprises because they're not playing as good as we thought. You know, Houston's certainly one of them. But in general, it's so early right now that we're not going to get any read as of yet.
So let's look at some of the rookies. And this is an incomplete list of rookies who have done well and some who are off to a slow start. So, yeah, obviously couldn't go through all of them. But Blake Griffin, 18 points and 11 rebounds per game, and he's shooting 50%. So, to me, he's the rookie of the year. And I know there will be a lot of push for John Wall because John Wall is playing great, but 23 turnovers in his last three games. And, you know, since Gilbert Arenas returned, he's only averaging 13 points per game. The two games before Arenas, 28.5 points per game. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, you know Arenas is going to take shots from him. But I think the biggest thing with Wall and people wanting him to be Rookie of the Year is that he's exciting to watch, you know. And so is Blake Griffin, but John Wall, the speed, every way he plays a game, it's just it's excitement every time he's on the court. So he's certainly going to get a nod. But if you look at those stats, I would say right now that Blake's leading the way.
And I'll tell you who else I would vote ahead of John Wall would be Eric Bledsoe. He's been starting in place of Baron Davis, and Bledsoe was on the same Kentucky team as John Wall. But he's been great. Turnovers are high, not as high as John Wall, but he's been really good. And the Clippers, another team off to a bad start, but they've been in some close games, and they should be better. And I think they'll start winning some more games, as long as Baron Davis stays away.
They got to do something, and that's another team that who do you go to in the stretch to get a bucket?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's Eric Gordon. It's got it.
Right, no, that's one guy who we haven't mentioned. Watching him play lately, the highlight reel dunks, the passes, the thing that he's been doing on the court, he certainly took what that experience gave him with Team USA this summer and just ran with it. And
he's got supreme confidence. You love the Team USA stuff.
I feel like these guys leave with such an amazing confidence, and they play at a higher level when
they
leave that team.
There's definitely a fraternity amongst the elite players in the NBA.
Absolutely.
So I guess being part of that helps.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you doing a show with me.
Wow, yes. You know, you just bring me up to these levels.
When you leave this room, you've got like a bounce in your step. You might not see it, but I see it.
Obvious. Yeah, obvious. All right, that's nice to know.
DeMarcus Cousins, he was starting, but now coming off the bench as Samuel Dalembert is healthy.
And Troy Murphy. I feel like they're going to move Murphy and kind of open up. Who are you did you say Favors?
No. I said DeMarcus Cousins.
See, when I don't listen to you, because you're rambling about your stuff, so I stop listening.
Like, what the heck is he talking about? Favors is next. Favors has actually probably been better than Cousins. Cousins, 12-6. Favors, 9.5, 7.3 rebounds per game, and shooting over 62%.
Yeah.
Favors looks like a really good pick. And we knew that Favors was the safer pick. Cousins was the upside pick, and that's probably evident in their game so far. But look, Favors giving you great numbers off the bench.
That's true.
I mentioned James Anderson. Evan Turner's playing well. He's not playing great, but he's playing well. And Landry Fields starting for the Knicks, one of the few rookies who started on opening night. He's been good, but you're not going to see it reflect in the numbers much. All right, some of the rookies who have gotten off to slow starts, Greg. I just didn't get the Al-Farouq Aminu pick. I didn't like him that much in college, and he's not getting a lot of minutes for the Clippers, and he hasn't earned them.
Yeah, well, and that's a team that's got a handful of big men. And right
now,
he's
not even that
the
big.
Numbers, yeah.
He's such a tweener to me. I don't know. I never understood that pick. Maybe I'll be wrong. Hopefully for the Clippers, I'll be wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know that they've set such a great track record with their draft picks that you're going to trust it to be a good pick. Although, of course, Blake Griffin we love. Not too many other picks in the,
although
in the
McCandy was a
Clipper
home run.
Tradition. Yes, exactly. That will make you be too confident in their picks.
Paul George finally scored in double digits for the Pacers in their loss on Friday to Milwaukee, but he has not been good. Ekpe Udoh has been out, number 6 pick for Golden State, wrist injury, out until December at the earliest. And Greg Monroe, you know, he's in the slow starters category, but finally getting more minutes, starting to make them count, and they really like his energy. He wasn't getting much done in the first few games, but I think that team's probably going to have a really bad year, and they've got to start looking to the future, and the Pistons need to play Greg Monroe more. And Gordon Hayward is the last player on this list. The number 9 pick played 21 minutes on opening night, 25 minutes in game 2, 24 combined minutes over the past 3 games.
Yeah,
so they're reducing his role.
Yeah.
But again, they need somebody to make shots. Why not Gordon Hayward?
Why not? See what he can do. I mean, but at the very least, you can see that they may have made up their mind as far as what type of player he'll be this season.
Yeah. Power rankings. Let's do it.
Let's get to it. I think number 1, obvious, LA Lakers 7-0, and they were pretty much there on everyone's board to start the season. I've got New Orleans at number 2 just because of the defense that they're playing. When you play that good a defense and you have Chris Paul, it's pretty hard to not put you up here. Now, 3 through 5, very tough. You know, I had to leave a team out that's at a 5-1, 5-2 type of record. The reason I put Miami in here is...
Miami's 3 for you?
Miami's number 3 for me is that, you know, obviously they've lost 2 games, but if you look both games, the first one at Boston, a game that they were within 3 points at the end of the game despite playing terribly, and then they lost at New Orleans by 3, so could very easily be 7-0 as well. The fourth team I put, Orlando. To me, you know, again, if you look at their
Boston
loss,
fifth?
Can you wait till I get to you look at their only loss, it's at Miami. Yes, it was a blowout, but their only loss is at Miami, so another team that could very well be undefeated. For me, number 5, I'm going with the San Antonio
What is
Spurs.
Wrong with you? You don't have Boston in your top 5?
I don't. I have them at number 6, but I told you, 3 through 5, 6 or 7 is tough decisions. To me, San Antonio only lost versus New Orleans, the team that's at number two. So for me, I put them there because, again, their only loss is to a team that is above them in this top five, and they're playing such good basketball that I couldn't separate them from Boston in any manner.
It's enough. Just
go ahead. Explain why Boston right now is better than San Antonio.
You honestly think that San Antonio is better than Boston?
I don't see why not. I mean, I would, if you have a healthy Ginobili right now, a healthy Tim Duncan, and if you were to play a seven-game series between these two teams, I think it would be great, and I think whoever has a home court would take it.
Well, I like that. All right. Celtics did lose last night.
They did.
If we had done these rankings a day earlier, would you put them in?
It's a good question, but we didn't. We did them today.
All right. I guess I can't disagree with you too much.
Yeah.
But I still have the Celtics third. I'm not going off record too much now. I go Lakers, Hornets. Remember I had the Heat number one last week?
Mm-hmm.
I had to drop them because they lost to the Hornets because I see some vulnerabilities.
Yep.
Lakers, Hornets, Celtics, Heat, Magic. Celtics I put above the Heat because they beat the Heat. I know it seems very hypocritical.
Yeah, they beat the Heat in game one.
Yeah. I think the Heat are probably better, but every time you count out Boston, they always surprise me. Yeah. So I agreed with you that after the first two, it's very difficult to decipher. Mm-hmm. I went Celtics, Heat, Magic, 3, 4, 5. And then I would probably have the Spurs, 6.
All right.
I like the Blazers a lot, too, though.
Yep.
You know, definitely not Atlanta. Wouldn't put them there.
You almost every year now wait for the bottom to just drop out in Portland for someone to get hurt. You know, first it's going to be Brandon Roy. Then it's going to be Cambie.
But that's not going to happen. They're going to get healthier.
You hope.
Because all the guys who get injured all the time are already injured.
They're already injured. They're already sitting on the
sidelines.
So
they're just going to get healthier and healthier.
You hope so.
All right. That's it. We're done.
2 weeks down.
Two weeks down.
I don't think we've learned much. We know who the powerhouses still are, but there's hopefully going to be some more movement. And I still think Carmelo Anthony's going to be traded, and that's going to shift some of the power in our power rankings.
Here's a question for you. Are the Heat going to lose any games this year to sub-500 teams?
No.
Maybe like a sub-5. Maybe a sub-500 team, but they're not going to lose to any of the bad teams.
No. They shouldn't even come within 10 to 15 points of those
teams. No, they're killing these teams. Philly hung around. And other than that, they are just killing everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Not
totally. There's just no way. There's no way that these teams are going to be able to beat the Heat.
Yep.
But that doesn't necessarily make them the best
team. Same with the Lakers, too. I don't see the Lakers necessarily losing it unless you have a Kobe injury or a Pau Gasol injury, something like that. If
Lakers,
Kobe and Pau are both playing, they're going to win the game unless it's a very, very difficult road game.
Has Pau Gasol become the best player on the Lakers?
No, but he is the best big man in the league. I love Dwight Howard and what he does defensively, but...
come on. We ranked the top five players before the season started. We both had Dwight Howard in our top five.
I know.
He's better than Pau Gasol.
Put up that
triple-double. Defensively, I understand. Defensively, there's no greater force than Dwight Howard.
You're right. It's tough because those two are... I think they're so much better than everyone else.
All the other big men?
Yeah. There's no one at that upper echelon.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you haven't been watching Timothy Mozgov.
Check out the Knicks games a little more,
absolutely. Come over sometime. We'll watch a game. That's Greg Urbano. He's going to be walking out of here with his head held up high. This is a big moment for him. I'm Adam Azer. Thanks a lot, everybody. Send us an email, CBSI podcast feedback at CBS.com. Take it easy.